My name is William Allen Cobb, Jr. By definition, that means my father's name is William Allen Cobb, Sr. My son's name is William Allen Cobb, III. So you're not dealing with much creativity here, so don't expect any today. I was born on June 26 in the year 1952. The temperature on that day was 103 degrees. It's a record. It still stands. Some would say the only thing hotter since that day has been the air that comes from my mouth constantly. I was born and raised in Wrightsville Beach, and except for the years that I attended Carolina in law school, I have lived there all my life. Some of you may know for the last 18 years I've been a Superior Court judge for the state of North Carolina. I've held court in over 50 counties, mostly in the eastern part of the state. Believe me, I've heard all the excuses and whining, so don't try anything. Every 8 years I have to run in an election, and that can be very scary. My next election is in the year 2010. I have a wonderful wife named Debbie, who many of you have met. She recently retired from Progress Energy. My son got married a little over a year ago. He met his wife here, right here on campus. They both graduated in 2002, and they live in Raleigh, where they're either working or continuing their postgraduate education. Now to my Carolina story. It begins in the mid-60s. My father graduated from the Citadel in 1938 and from UNC Law School in 1941. Many of you know the Citadel is the military college of South Carolina. My dad had season tickets to all the football games down there, and three or four times a year he'd take me to Charleston to show me all the advantages of a military college and the beauty of Charleston. He really wanted me to go to school down there. He thought what I needed was the military discipline and not some wild-eyed liberal arts education that I might get from some other school. But we'd also go to some Carolina football games and basketball games when he could scrounge up some tickets. What a big mistake and huge backfire on his part. I, like the rest of you, fell in love with Carolina instead. Look, when I was deciding to go to college, it was during the Vietnam War, and the Citadel was not that attractive to me. You know, here I was, this cocky, blonde-haired kid from Wrightsville Beach. I finally told him I thought it was all very beautiful, but, Dad, I'm not going to school there. Sorry about that, Papa. The whole time he knew, as I knew, that if I was lucky enough to get in Carolina, that would be where I would go to school. While he was alive, we had some of our best times together right here on campus. I've experienced the same thing through my own son. I have done my part, and I have passed that Carolina love affair down to the next generation in the person of my son. Now, I ended up applying to Wake Forest in Carolina when I was deciding where to go to school, and I got accepted to Wake Forest first. So I felt like I'd probably get in here. I waited and waited on Carolina, but was still no word. And back then, you had to let Wake Forest know by a certain date whether or not you were going to go there or not. And if you didn't, they'd give your spot to somebody else. So my father was a state government employee. He was the district attorney for many years. He had a good job, but really he never made a lot of money. My mother didn't work, and my dad was a wonderful guy, a great father, but he was very resourceful. So if I had to go to Wake, it was going to cost him some serious money. You know, that private-public thing. So the day before the deadline at Wake, he got in his car, drove up here to the admissions office. He met a nice young lady there and said to her, "I really need your help. You people up here are getting ready to cost me a lot of damn money. Does my son have a chance to get in up here?" So the polite lady excused herself, went to the back. A few minutes, she came back out, and she said, "Sir, his letter is sitting right there in the next batch to be mailed out." He said, "Well, what the hell does the letter say?" She said, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. He's going to be admitted." So he reached across the counter, gave her a big hug, and said, "You can sign him up." So I was in. I was here from 1970 to 74, and I must say I was not the most serious or studious guy on campus. I was very social and at times somewhat frivolous. I made good grades, but I really had no real direction or serious purpose in my life. And I'm confident that if a poll was taken today of the people who knew me as an undergraduate, they would vote me the person least likely to become a Superior Court judge in the state of North Carolina. When I see old classmates now, they say, "You do what?" The early 70s were interesting here. Of course, there was no electronics or wireless devices of anything of that sort. Few students had a car. If they did, there was a gas shortage and had long lines you had to wait in. It was the Vietnam era. Civil disobedience was the order of the day, and protests everywhere about everything were on campus. Nixon won his second term. Watergate occurred, and he resigned. President Ford later pardoned him. George Wallace got shot, and Patty Hearst got abducted. The Deke House caught on fire. Streaking was the campus fad. The Big Mac was born at McDonald's. The hangouts here were the Shack, Clarence's, and the Scoreboard. The campus was 80% male, not any of this 65% female stuff. Drinking beer was legal at age 18, and light beer had just been introduced into the market. Bell bottoms were in, and co-eds and halter tops were fun to look at. Jubilee and Apple Chill were going strong. Hector's had just opened. Jeff's was a favorite spot, and the guys still wore coats and ties to the football games. William Friday became president of the newly consolidated Greater University. Farabee Taylor replaced Carlisle Sitterson, and Jesse Helms got first elected to the United States Senate. William F. Buckley, Jane Fonda, Dick Gregory, Sam Ervin, David Brinkley, George McGovern, and Gloria Steinem all spoke on campus, and the black student movement began. Chicago, Smokey Robinson, Tina Turner, James Taylor, the Beach Boys, Judy Collins, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and the Pointer Sisters all performed on campus. Olivia Newton-John, Carole King, Janis Joplin, Three Dog Night, and the Allman Brothers could be heard from record players all over campus. All in the Family, Sanford and Son, MASH, and Sonny and Cher were the most popular TV shows, and the favorite movies were The French Connection, Dirty Harry, Godfather, Deliverance. Muhammad Ali lost the heavyweight title and later won it back. The Carolina Cougars were the pro team in Greensboro. Pittsburgh Pirates and the Oakland A's won the World Series. The Cowboys, Dolphins, Steelers all won Super Bowls. And the Bucks, Lakers, Knicks, and Celtics were the NBA champs. Hank Aaron hit his 715th home run to break Babe Ruth's record. Mark Spitz won 7 gold medals in the Olympics. Woody Durham replaced the mouth of the South, Bill Curry, as the voice of the Tar Heels. And South Carolina pulled out of the ACC. McCauley, Voigt, Miller, Huff, Pratt, and Roosneck were their football stars, and their teams went to the Peach and Sun Bowls. The winner of the ACC basketball tournament was the only team in the conference to go to the NCAA. Players named Weissick, Carl, Dedman, Previs, Chamberlain, McAdoo, Kupchak, Legard, Davis, and Kuster were the studs. Under the Dean, their teams won the ACC regular season, the NIT, the ACC tournament, and went to the Final Four in 1972. In 1974, we came back from 8 points down with 17 seconds in regulation to beat Duke in overtime. How sweet was that? 71, I joined Phi Gamma Delta fraternity and became one of those frat guys. My fraternity was rich in tradition. It was made up mostly of Eastern North Carolina guys. And I learned a lot there. I really think it was probably the most valuable training ground of my life. Even though I live very much in the moment and without much perspective, I realize now what a great experience it actually was. The interactions I had with the guys on road trips, playing intramurals, eating and just hanging out, acting cool, taught me about friendship, trust, and diversity. I made some really great friends there, many of whom are from very different backgrounds. A couple of them are here in this very room or were scheduled to be in this room. David Davidson is one. Jordy Wichard, who's on his way to Montana, was another. I met Rusty Carter there in 1970. He's a current member of the Board of Trustees, and as y'all will remember, we gave him the Distinguished Service Medal last year. Bob Winston was another current, who is another current trustee, was also a FIGAN. Mike Easley and I hung out a lot together and later went to law school together in 1976. I introduced him to his wife, Mary, who at the time was an assistant district attorney working for my dad in Wilmington. And my best friend in the whole world today lives in Greenville, and I met him there in 1970. I was also a member of what's called the Gorgon's Head Lodge. It's a secret all-male interfraternity social organization on Franklin Street. It had no redeeming educational value whatsoever, but we did have a bunch of fun. So despite my self-absorbed world, I somehow got out of school in 1974. My first year out, I got a real job with Southern Bell Telephone Company. I also got married. I suddenly found myself in the middle of this thing called life, and I was trying to figure it all out because to this point I'd not really been serious about anything. I knew I needed to determine the best way to use this valuable diploma that I had just earned but had not yet framed. Being a lawyer had never been a consideration for me during college, but out in the working world I would begin to think about it more and more. I did know I didn't want to work for somebody else for the rest of my life. So very late in the game, and after a lot of scrambling, I got accepted into law school at North Carolina Central University. I lived here in Chapel Hill all three of those years. In 1978, I graduated, passed the bar exam, and moved to Wilmington, and I started out in a private law practice there. I felt like I was the luckiest guy in the state of North Carolina to be a lawyer, and I was very appreciative, and that's when I began to take life a little more serious. So in 1990, I was elected a judge, and here I am today. Now, since leaving Chapel Hill, I've enjoyed being involved in my community. I've served as the president of our Boy Scout Council. I've been the president of what's called the North Carolina Azalea Festival. And I was president of what's called the Wilmington Executives Club. I'm currently on the Board of Trustees of our local community college, and I'm also on the UNC Wilmington Board of Visitors, and my wife and I attend the First Presbyterian Church in Wilmington. So since graduation, I have, of course, returned to Chapel Hill many, many times, and at the drop of a hat, my family enjoys a lot of the football, basketball, and baseball games. And when my son was here, it was actually like reliving college all over again. It was a very special time for both he and me, and he also joined a fraternity, and he ended up in that Gorgon's Head Lodge thing, too, so that was fun. But my true passion has been my involvement with the university here. For the last 6 years, I've served on our region's Morehead Cain Regional Selection Committee. I've had the chance to meet some very bright, very industrious young students. I'm yet to understand how they fit everything they do into one day. Each year I come away from those interviews so pumped up and exciting. It's just a great thing. It really is. I just cycled off of the UNC Board of Visitors. I enjoyed that a whole lot, and it was a very great way to stay informed with what's going on the campus here today. And, of course, it goes without saying what an honor it is to serve on this great board. This has all been so exciting, learning the ins and outs of the workings of the university. So my Carolina story doesn't stop. It still continues. Debbie and I have really had some special fun here the last couple of years on campus. We fully endowed an athletic scholarship in women's soccer, to be specific. Our scholarship was awarded to a young lady named Nikki Washington from Mesquite, Texas. She's a junior this year and plays forward on this team. So, Nikki, stand up and let me embarrass you a little bit. She's with her mom, Frida, who... Stay up. I want you to stay up. She's with her mom, Frida, from Texas. She is just about the sweetest young lady you'll ever meet. We've become really great friends. And let me tell you something. She's fast. She can juke. She can jive. She can fake. She's just very, very good. She was a freshman All-American on the 2006 National Championship team. She was the most valuable player of the ACC tournament last year. And she is a current member of the U-20 national team that will play next month in the World Championships in Chile. So we need that medal back on this campus, okay? By the way, Nikki has brought one of her teammates with her. So, young lady, would you please stand so I can introduce you? This player is from Basking Ridge, New Jersey, and she's also a junior. She also has a 2006 championship ring and is currently a first-team All-American. She was one of just three collegiate players chosen to play in the United States team at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. She just happened to win a gold medal there. I don't know if y'all have ever met a gold medal winner before, but I haven't. But this is Tobin Heath. So that's my abbreviated Carolina story, a little bit how I got here, what I did in the middle, and what Debbie and I are doing now. Go Heels, heart to center. That's right.